Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, I got a new theme song now. Kevin Galeen, can I show you something? We have a new computer system. Look what happened. All the screens went black while you're doing your newscast. Everything went dead. We knew something like this would happen. All of them, they're all dead.
Well,
like they're working out in the back right now.
This is where your personality will carry the day.
Maybe 30 seconds before you started your newscast, you said, yeah, even if something goes wrong, your personality will carry it up. You said that, then the computer screens go dead right after that. We have no control over it.
But don't let this stop you from your opening.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh, Bad Night America.
Wonderful.
I got new shoes. Look at these bad boys. It's the most I've ever paid on shoes. $50 for these things.
Handsome brown dress casual shoes. You can wear hiking and around the office. They look very nice.
My wife bought these for me. She had a special coupon from one of the shoe stores. I don't remember which one. And she went to go get them, and she said it'd be a lot easier to shop shoes for you if, one, you were willing to wear new shoes, and, two, you didn't have such fat feet. So apparently you have to get special wide fat feet edition shoes.
How wide are your feet?
I don't know. It's any time I've tried on shoes, I don't know how wide they are. I just know that anytime I put on any regular shoe, it always is way too tight. I got to get something that's labeled wide or for people of fat feet. That's me. I have flat, fat feet. But I wore these other shoes for probably the last 4 or 5 years. My wife bought them at a garage sale for 75 cents. They just happened to fit me. And ever since then, I'm a necessity buyer. So the thing still worked. There was holes and it was ripped up. And it was at the point where if I was trudging through some slushy snow, it would have made my socks wet. So finally got to the point where I actually had to get these things switched out.
Did you wear those to your job interview here at KMOX?
There's a chance I did. I don't remember.
Well, they must not have looked down.
I know. I got to
hide your personality carried the day. But, yep. I'd have to draw the line, right? I don't think I could wear somebody else's shoes, because shoes are a repository for the woes and the troubles of the day. Mm. So I always change my shoes when I go home. But if you wear somebody else's shoes, you might start wearing his worries.
I think shoes are overrated. A lot of people buy shoes as a collector item. People collect them. They want to go out and buy the latest Air Jordan or the Wheezy or something. They'll spend thousands of dollars on these special edition shoes, and they'll never wear them. They'll keep them in the box, and some people just like that sort of thing. I'm a 100% necessity guy, and I don't like logos on my shoes either. I try to find shoes that have zero branding on it. I don't like to wear that. I just want one plain color shoe.
Yeah, you're practically Amish. You're very sensible.
Should be. Growing the beard. That makes it too. Hey, look at that. Computer system's back up. That's good news.
I have a terrific show, and I'll be listening at home.
Thank you, Kevin Galeen.
Some Ovaltine.
I'm looking forward to Monday's radio show. I am so excited for the holiday radio show. So
yeah, it's fun. It's late, deep into the Christmas season this year. People should have the Christmas spirit.
Good. Kevin Galeen, thank you so much for sticking around there.
Thank you.
And my wife always tells me, I wish you dressed like Kevin Galeen. Not everyone can. You look good. That was the problem. The one time my wife met you was we were walking back from a Cardinals game, and you were out covering something on the street, and she sees you, and she says, oh, this is Kevin, because I talk about you at the house. And she goes, why don't you dress like Kevin? You always look so nice. Always. Now, every time we talk about clothes, she says, what would Kevin wear? Do you think Kevin would wear that?
Let me just sit down one more time to tell you what my son, he would correct your wife and say, I always told my son, you have to dress as a reporter right on the line so that you can either interview a senator or a homeless person.
Okay.
And my son looked at my shoes. He says, I think you've been interviewing too many homeless people.
All right. Well, this will be fun. It's a Thursday night into Friday morning, Overnight America. So we try to make things a little bit more relaxed. That also means we keep the phone lines open for you in case there's something you want to get off your chest before the weekend. And since we're getting towards a holiday We know things are a little bit more stressful, so I'm sure there's more things on your mind. This hour, too, why did it take so long for Congress to make a law where members had to pay out of pocket for sexual harassment settlements? Isn't that ridiculous? It took this long for it to happen. And I want to know who quit better. Two quitters. Well, technically Claire McCaskill's not a quitter, but she gave her final speech today on the Senate floor. And then there's a teen who used the intercom at a Walmart. So I'm going to play both of those bits of audio. I want to know who ended it better. Both of them are intriguing to me. But the phone lines stay open to you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Computer system's back up. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. Everything's so colorful with this new system. It's like when film transitioned from black and white to color at the start of, what's that movie? The Wizard of Oz. It was like that. Before we were in black and white, now we're in color all of a sudden. So you're going to be with us. It's like we're walking on a tightrope tonight. Because we don't know what this thing's going to do. We're going to go through this adventure together on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back. Hey, how about that? It's Ted Nugent's 70th birthday today. Wow. See, all this time I was complaining about getting old, and here's Ted Nugent doing his thing. 70 still. He still performs. Every once in a while, I'll catch him on Mark Reardon's program. So Congress finally reached a deal on a bill on how Congress handles sexual harassment claims. Wasn't it ridiculous to find out? I had no idea prior to this whole Me Too movement that if you were in Congress, they would secretly pay out these harassment claims and you wouldn't know where this money was going. You wouldn't know who was the cause of the harassment. And it was all kept secret for as long as it was. And you think to yourself, okay, we're spending millions of dollars a year on harassment claims for members of Congress, and we're protecting them with this secrecy because they felt like they're being targeted for this sort of thing. So as opposed to them being cleared under a court of law, or opposed to them actually getting the green light, as in it didn't happen, or the red light, which is it did happen and they're in trouble, we don't know any of these things. We don't know the result. So for a while there, we're spending like drunken sailors in Congress, not only with the way we handle our budget, but also with how we just hand out money for settlements. It's better to just make it go away than it is to fight this sort of thing. And, you know, our congressmen have better things to do, I guess. But if you're accused of harassment, they kept it secret until now. So this is where we are. And I am just glad this is happening. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Said lawmakers have reached a deal on a bill overhauling how Congress handles sexual harassment claims, including a requirement that members pay out of pocket for some settlements and court judges. Out of pocket. It should have been like that all along. Why was it any other way, really? Why was it that your taxpayer money was being used to make sexual harassment claims go away? Here's the quote from Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, Democrat. For too long, victims of sexual harassment in Congress have been forced into a process that lacks transparency and accountability and fails them at a time when they need the most support. Our bipartisan legislation, which we expect to pass in the coming days, will overhaul this broken process, ensure victims can immediately seek justice, and hold members of Congress accountable. Was there much accountability going on before this? No. If it's done in secret and your taxpayer money's just paying out, no one knows, unless someone wants to come out publicly. But I'm going to guess part of their settlement or whatever it is they got to keep it quiet in order to keep their money. And who knows how much money was actually being handed out? I mean, we know it's millions, but how much do we know how many people were involved? Could it have been just a couple of people constantly harassing, or maybe one person and there's multiple accounts? Or perhaps is it a lot of congressmen and it's spread out, you know, 100,000 here, 100,000 there with, you know, 20 people get together. And next thing you know, that's what we see for the year. It's a weird world we live in. So the deal comes after a nearly year-long standoff between the House and the Senate over member liability and other issues in the bill. Senate Rule Committee Chairman Roy Blunt here in Missouri, chief GOP negotiator in the Senate, says he expects the bill will pass the Senate this week to ensure staffers are better protected when new Congress begins in January. This is from NPR. It shouldn't be a get-out-of-jail-free card by getting into politics. You shouldn't be able to get into Congress and be immune to certain things. Obviously, if you're a politician, like let's look at Eric Reitens, for example. There was no immunity there. You have someone come forward. You have other people willing to buy, quote unquote, buy the life story of Eric Reitens. You have a woman come forward, give her account, forced to, kind of. She really didn't want any of this to happen until they started digging this sort of thing up. And then she gives her account and ultimately leads to his resignation. Quite frankly, a little unfair with how they treated it, but I think that is the process of being able to defend yourself. There's accusations that may be false that get out there, but the ability for you to defend yourself is something that we should be upholding. In Congress, there is no defending yourself. What is it? It's just, let's hand the money out and make it go away. It's better we don't taint the names of certain people, or it's better we don't make this process public. So there's no defending. There's no accountability. They're just write them a check. Let's let end. This needs to end. I'm glad it is. And let the Congress members pay out of pocket for these accusations that turn out to be true. Here's what Roy Blunt said. We do it as quickly as we can. No other employer in America would deal with this issue this way. We have here a level of exposure that you would have if you worked anywhere else. I doubt that. Oh, I doubt that. So you're saying, I know there's private mediation that goes on with certain employers. So if you, for example, have a dispute between you and your employer, they try to make it a private sort of mediation or whatever. What happens when it's between you and another person? So let's say it's another person that's directly trying to say you harass them, or in some cases, between person and in company. They absolutely are going to lawyer up, and they're going to bring up whatever they can in order to prove their case. And sometimes it's not done privately. I don't know why they think the default is private. I don't think it is. I think the default is whatever the victim feels is the best way to make the claim or sue or whatever it is in court. I don't think the victim has any obligation to try to be sensitive, perhaps, to the person that's the accuser. They just go through the right legal means to do so. So I don't know. I really don't buy this is what any other corporation would do. Maybe corporate world's crazier than that, and every other manager in every corporation is paying out about $2 million a year in harassment claims. That could be the case, and I just have no idea. Maybe I'm just ignorant to it all. But if you work for a large corporation, I don't know. How many times have you heard privately people are getting paid out for harassment claims to the tune of millions of dollars a year, depending on how much money your corporation's bringing in? But says, under the new rules, member liability would be capped in cases where a court assesses damages, but there would be no cap when cases end in settlements. Under the agreement, there would be a maximum cap, $300,000, on member liability for court-awarded judgments in certain cases, according to aides familiar with legislation. I wonder if you can buy a insurance deal on this. Say, I want to insure myself in case I'm ever going to have some sort of harassment claim against me. Because when we sign up for insurance here through KMOX, there's other supplementary insurance policies you can buy into that include your dog getting sick. You can buy into a policy to see, oh yeah, in case you need these hospital bills for your animal, we'll help pay for something like that. You know, or in our cases too, I mean, there is even insurance in case you're sued, right? Lawyer fees could be included in something like that. I wonder if that's something a Congress member, every single one of them, are going to be buying into. And if that's the case, looks like the insurance industry is going to be getting a lot of money here starting in January. A lot of deals are going to be written up. All settlements and awards involving members would be made public at the time of the settlement, and an annual review would be released to the public. So settlements and awards involving members made public. The deal provides legal counsel for House staff who file complaints and legal assistance to Senate staff. Would also eliminate the mandatory 30-day cooling off period before someone can file a complaint. I kind of get that 30-day cooling off period. I mean, it makes sense. How many times have you been saved by a cooling off period in your life where you wanted to shoot off an email real quick because you're upset with someone and you said, no, I'll write it in the morning. And it's probably better you did that, or send the text messages or post something online and you wonder to yourself, man, I shouldn't have wrote that when I was angry. Yeah, I guess. I mean, the cooling off period, it gives you a little bit better time to assess things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for any individual, but I guess you shouldn't be forced to do it if you don't want to. The compromise falls short of sweeping changes House members had hoped to enact, but House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi vowed to pass additional rules when Democrats take control of the House next year. That's great. I don't know. To me, who do you think this is used for more, Republicans or Democrats? And if you automatically yelled the opposition party, the one that, you know, if you're a member of one party and you say, oh, it's always the other party that does that sort of thing. I don't think so. I don't think anyone's right. I don't know who gets more harassment claims. Who gets more? Let's put a little caveat on this. More legitimate harassment claims that it actually lead to action against that congressman. But why in the world were we enacting this long where whatever congressman, they get in and they just let Uncle Sam pay their bill, pay the settlement? That didn't make sense at all. So I'm kind of glad they're doing this. In fact, I really don't have any sympathy for a person that's found guilty of this sort of thing. I don't think you should be in the public's eye, and I don't think you should be using government money, which there should be some sort of accountability for. And I also don't think you should be hidden, if you're using taxpayer money, as a John Doe or Jane Doe or whatever it is. Mostly because if taxpayer money is being spent on you and you're an elected official, then it should be documented. It should be made for the public to check out for themselves. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I got a couple other things I want to get to this hour. St. Louis apparently is a great soccer city. Oh, all the Major League Soccer owners get together and they start praising St. Louis. I'm a little skeptical about this, not because I disbelieve them. I think they're right. But whenever everyone starts praising St. Louis, you do the little squinty eye thing and you're like, what's the catch? How come you've never said anything nice about us before? Why is it always like, hold on, you're a little skeptical. Wait a minute. There's something, you're going to ask us for something, aren't you? It's like when your kid tries to butter you up before asking you for money. Oh, wow, that was so great. Oh, I love how you did that. Oh, that's nice. That's really cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, can I borrow the card? And yeah, you knew it was coming. So when Major League Soccer starts this up. Plus, who quit better? You know, the drop the mic moment. So Claire McCaskill, even though she didn't quit, she didn't win a re-election. So she gets her Senate floor moment where she gets to give her final words. And there was also a teenager that used the Walmart intercom to quit. Did not have nice things to say about his employer at that point. Who did it better? We're going to play both of them coming up. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey Blues fans, Joey Vitale here. Friday night, the Blues host the Colorado Avalanche in a rematch from 2 weeks ago of the great overtime win from the Blues in Colorado. Don't miss any of the action from Enterprise Center. The pregame show is at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 right here on your home for Blues Hockey, KMOX. Let's go Blues!
Oh, there we go. We're still wearing in this new automation system at the radio station. A lot of colorful buttons around me right now. It's almost like being on a cartoon Mickey Mouse Club style spaceship. Oh, getting used to it. It's kind of fun when you get new systems in place. There's always the uncertainty if it's going to do the things you think it's going to do. And I always remember back in the day when I was a budding broadcaster and trying to learn the ropes and getting into the studios, and they would train you on everything. I remember getting in there and the anxiety you would have if you didn't know the button you were about to press would be the right outcome. Oh, there's a lot of anxiety because there's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's different in any other job. You might be able to hide your mistakes, but in radio and you're doing it live on the air, you can't hide it. If there's something that went wrong or a piece of audio that played the wrong way or something's out of place, everyone hears it, and that just adds to the pressure. So I feel like we're having one of those nights tonight. Good thing is, it's the last night of the week. Woo! At least for me in Overnight America. We do the Sunday night through Thursday night. Technically, this is Thursday night through Friday morning. And hey, we'll have some fun tonight. Why not? I don't want to do too many serious topics. I mean, I do have a few. Michael Doherty is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Google CEO testifies about, I swear we're not tracking you and stuff. No one's buying it. And I wanted to talk to him. He's a security expert. Also, we'll talk to Dave Bowers from AccuWeather and looks at the forecast out a couple weeks for Christmas morning. Are we going to see snow? Short end of the stick, no. But you can find that story at KMOX.com. There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. St. Louis is a great soccer city, Major League Soccer team owners say. This was from the Post-Dispatch. Team owners discussed several competing expansion proposals on Thursday and came away with a glowing impression of the St. Louis bid, owners and league officials said. So there's a couple of different areas. Right now, the Major League Soccer League has 23 teams with three others, Cincinnati, Nashville, and Miami, approved to start playing on 2020. Then in the recent weeks, other teams had started to emerge. Austin got the green light, but we kind of knew that. I don't know a lot about Major League Soccer, but from what I understand, one of the team owners relocated, so they didn't because they relocated to another city and he took his team with them. It's a little bit different, mostly because like they didn't want to cut him off, so it's kind of like the old city and the new city each got one. So it's even though there was two expansion teams, that means there's only one slot left because of the way this movement happened. So St. Louis is in competition for the Major League Soccer with Charlotte, Detroit, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Raleigh, and San Diego. And at least one of those teams, including us, will probably be the ones to get it. Then I guess if you add on top of that, I guess there could be other ones, but really I think it'd be too late. I think St. Louis has a pretty good shot at this. In fact, I feel pretty good. They're called the front runner. League executives and owners continue to call St. Louis as the front runner, which is good. I always have a hard time accepting compliments. Yeah, you know, most people do. So when someone from the outside starts to talk about St. Louis in this way, I know they're right, but I start to wonder, what's their ulterior motive? Yeah, what's it going on? Are they trying to get something from us? Are they trying to milk us for something else? It's just like every other parent that just knows their kids are about to ask them for something because they're buttering them up. Oh, wow, that dinner was great, Mom. Oh, man. Oh, I really like what you did with your hair, Mom. Oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, by the way, my friends and I want to go out. Can we borrow the car on Friday night? Oh, I knew that was coming. Oh, we want to go to the movies. Can I get 20 bucks? Always. Oh, I knew that was coming. So this is what some of these team owners are saying. The owner of Minnesota United FC, so football club, or should I say football club, depending on how you want to say it, Bill McGuire. You got a great city, a great soccer city. He's a member of the league's expansion committee in a great group of owners. Of course we have a great group of owners. I think that's more, sure, we got a site. Sure, we got the funding. Sure, we got the city's thumbs up. But really, what sells this is the owners of this. So you have the Taylors, of course, big deep pockets. Part of this article in the Post-Dispatch say their net worth is reported as high as $13.8 billion. And of course, a deep commitment with St. Louis, with Enterprise. And of course, where the Blues play, just getting the naming rights to the stadium there. And of course, Kavanaugh, Worldwide Technologies. He has the minor league team, the St. Louis Football Club, but also very big. And they continue to expand and they continue to bring more jobs here. He's got the money to back this too. But the female-owned majority is something that should be extremely appealing, not just to the Major League Soccer front, but really any Major League Sport front. This is cool. I mean, this is so out of the ordinary. You'd never see this because you haven't seen this. So to see that sort of ownership group come up, they got to really take that into consideration. That has to be the thing, the major advantage. So these other sites, they could have different locations to build a stadium. These other cities, they could have the money. They could have the, you know, backing. Sure, I'm sure there's other millionaires and billionaires willing to help finance these things. I'm sure there's other cities that are willing to put more money into it. And there's even some that I'm sure passed different tax levies or whatever it is to try to get taxpayer money involved with that sort of thing. For what St. Louis had to overcome, it was on the ballot. They took it off, as in it got voted down, and still they continue to fight for this sort of thing. They got the private funding. They did everything they had to do, and they were able to get the city on board with the things that they wanted to do privately, and they were able to work out in order to make this viable. I don't see any other city that's had to overcome as much as St. Louis has, plus come back even stronger. So St. Louis better get a Major League Soccer club. They better. And if St. Louis does not get a Major League Soccer club, I don't know what to tell you. At this point, it's like you throw up your hands and you say, we did everything we could. What are we going to do? We're going to wait till the next time you have an expansion? Get out of town. Plus, there's the expansion cost. I'm sure that's not cheap. Millions of dollars, I'm going to guess. You know how much it costs to get into Major League Soccer? There's the expansion fee. In hockey, it's very expensive. You know, tens of millions of dollars in the NHL they talk about for Seattle, who's going to be the next expansion team in the NHL. So you have that aspect of it, too. And if Major League Soccer continues to grow the way it does, what's going to happen? You know, 5 years down the line, they want to expand again, 2025 or something like that. And then they up the expansion cost by double. Now you got to raise even more money. $150 million expansion fee for Major League Soccer? That doesn't sound right. How much is it for the NHL? See how much Seattle paid to get into that. $150 million to get a Major League Soccer expansion club. That's a lot of money you got to be paying into that. All right, he's looking it up on his computer. I can hear the computer in the background calculating. How much is it for NHL? Vegas did $500 million. I know Seattle was more because they released it. And even though Vegas just got into the league a couple of seasons ago, well, last season, Seattle, before they even start, they really jumped the cost of that. League executives and others continued to talk about this earlier today. I think they're in New York City. New York City! Still unclear whether owners think St. Louis gave the league the best chance to succeed. $650 million for Seattle, so they had to pay another extra $150 higher than Las Vegas. And that's just the fee to get into it. Let's do this. We got everything we need in place. They continued to praise St. Louis. New Cincinnati franchise owner Carl Linder said, wouldn't say on Thursday which city he favors. Still, he had a message for St. Louis. St. Louis is one of the great Midwestern cities. Okay, that's a really middle-of-the-lane type of talk. St. Louis has a nice city. I like their sandwiches, said owner of the Cincinnati franchise, Carl Linder. They have roads and parks there, said Carl Linder. It's like politician talk. They got to be impressed. If they're not impressed with St. Louis at this point, I don't really know what to do. At least we have the XFL, so we got that going for us. Maybe we'll just cheer for the XFL twice as hard. We better get soccer. I'll be so upset. if these owners in the city did everything they could to attract a team, everything, and we still don't get it, I'm ready to just throw the papers up. I'll be like, forget it. I don't even care. Soccer can go under tomorrow for all I care. It's like a make or break moment. Don't do this to us, Major League Soccer. You better give us a franchise. Coming up, I wanted to play a couple of bits of audio. There's a teen in Canada that quit his job working for Walmart and also giving her last speech on the Senate floor, Claire McCaskill, both of them giving their final speeches. I want to ask you which one you think did it better. Kid at Walmart, teenager, giving up his part-time job, or Claire McCaskill. Both had the drop the mic moments. We'll get to that next on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. So we're here for the fun of it all, kind of. You ever want to give a drop the mic speech, as in you say and air all of your grievances at once and then you walk off the stage and that's the last thing you get to do? You ever been at a place of employment that you were just so fed up with that you felt like, I need to just say my piece. I'm just going to explode and, you know, I don't care. I'm leaving this job anyway. You ever have one of those moments, or anyone from your work ever sabotage your work? I'm just curious. Radio stations have some stories back in the day when they would play commercials off of what they called these carts. They look like these 8-tracks. If you remember the 8-track systems that used to play the music in your car, or your home stereo, and all of the commercials were kept on these things that looked like 8-track. And when someone would get fired, I heard multiple stories about how people would go back into the engineering room or the room where they kept all the commercials, and then they would delete all of everything. They'd turn on just the bulk eraser, which was a giant magnet, and it would just demagnetize all of these carts and just ruin everything as their last see you later moment to a radio station. Now, I know that there's other people that have done things on the job before. And I'm going to play two final speeches for you. One's Claire McCaskill, who criticizes the Senate. The other is a Canadian teen from Walmart who quits via the intercom system. His name is Jason, is it Rackiot? 17 years old, looks around before giving a little smile, hops on the Walmart in Grand Prairie in Alberta, Canada, with this speech.
Attention all shoppers, associates, and management. I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here, ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and management did nothing to help.
Oh, no, she didn't. Well, of course there's going to be people at Walmart with tempers flaring this time of year. But let's see, it didn't end there.
Management will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a full-time associate down to part-time, even though he worked 40-plus hours a week. I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of all the bogus write-ups and my job. Management, this job, and Walmart.
Whoa, drop the mic, yikes. So I don't think Walmart could do anything to this kid. Apparently, I was looking at the Washington Post, and he already had another job lined up, and it appears in this article that he even told the new employer that's the way he's going out, which raises the question, does the new employer know who they're getting? So if he's upset, do they know this is the kind of guy that will do the drop the mic moment? Wow, what a way to go.
And I'm sick of all the bogus write-ups and my job. Management, this job. Walmart.
Wow, the potty mouth there in Canada. Claire McCaskill had one of those moments too.
Peter Morgan.
Well, she didn't have a potty mouth, but she was on the Senate floor and gave her final speech.
Peter Morgan, an author, said, "No family is complete without an embarrassing uncle. We have too many embarrassing uncles in the United States Senate."
What does that mean? Is that a sex thing? Are you saying there's too many guys that are embarrassing? Or, you know, the thing is, wasn't Joe Biden always referred to as the uncle? I don't think she's referring to Joe Biden, but still. Is that like a sexist thing? She's saying all the guys are embarrassing? You know, girl power stuff? I don't know.
Lots of embarrassing stuff. The United States Senate is no longer the world's greatest deliberative body. And everybody needs to quit saying it. Until we recover from this period of polarization and the fear of the political consequences of tough votes. Writing legislation behind closed doors. Giant omnibus bills that most don't know what's in them.
Nobody knows what's in them. Don't, Claire, don't act like you're Rand Paul all of a sudden, like you were on the forefront out there saying, oh man, we got to stop this vote because we don't know what's in it during the Obamacare vote. Don't act like this was a Democrat thing. This is just a terrible politician thing. Same thing happened when the Republicans got in there and started putting these budgets together when they'll print these things off. And the only person that stands up in filibusters is Rand Paul. He'll do it all night long to just show you how ridiculous it is that we're billions and trillions of dollars being spent and not even being overseen properly by the people who are voting on them because there's not even a chance for them to read these things before the vote comes up under the threat of government shutdown. I never once saw you up there filibustering for this. So don't act like you're Rand Paul all of a sudden. So let's get that straight.
K Street lobbyists knowing about the tax bill manager's package before even senators. That's today's Senate. And no amendments. Solving the toughest problems will not happen without tough votes. We can talk about the toughest problems. We can visit about them. We can argue about them. We can campaign on them. But we're not going to solve them without tough votes. It will not happen. My first year in the Senate was 2007. We voted on 306 amendments in 2007. This year, as of yesterday, we voted on 36. That's a remarkable difference. Something is broken, and if we don't have the strength to look in the mirror and fix it, the American people are going to grow more and more cynical. And they might do something crazy like elect a reality TV star president.
Oh, don't even start here. So let me just back up. The reason why I think there's been so little votes is because there's been an extreme amount of sandbagging from the Democrat Party, where their major strategy to win is, let's just hope we can take back some power during the midterm election. So we're going to just hold back and delay and sandbag as long as we can. So don't act like this is something that the Republican Party intentionally is trying, because you bring up reality TV star in office, and don't act like that's his fault, all right? He may be divisive, But the reason why nothing is happening is because of the fussing and the feud and the sandbagging that happened, the strategic sandbagging. And it's only going to get worse in hopes that the Democrats, with a little power now in the House, that they're going to be able to try to flip things over and maybe even get the White House during the next general election. Because that's where there's going to be a lot of focus. Yeah. Don't wag your finger here at a reality star in The Office. That's the reason why all of this is happening. Nope. It may be part of the reason why the strategy changed by the Democrats. But to me, I've been saying this from all along, the best strategy the Democrats had when they didn't have power was to sandbag as long as they can. And you know what? They were effective at it. So that's, to me, the proof of it all.
I'm not kidding. That's one of the reasons this has happened.
Yeah.
Power has been dangerously centralized in the Senate. We like to say, oh, we can't change the rules. We just like the House. We kind of are like the House, guys. We kind of are. A few people are writing the legislation. A few people are making the decisions. We have to throw off the shackles of careful, open the doors of debate, reclaim the power of members and committees, and most of all, realize that looking the other way and hoping that everything will work out later is a foolish idea. And for gosh sakes, debate and vote on amendments.
Probably the best thing. Except when you only use debate as a form of sandbagging. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of that, too.
But with all the problems I've outlined, know that I love this place and you.
Good.
Almost all of you.
Aw, funny. Aw, that's really funny. So then she ends her speech like this.
Management.
No, she didn't end it like that. All right, hold on.
You have filled my life with interesting work and unforgettable memories. We have argued, we have sang, we have fought, we have cried, and we have laughed. Together. Just like family.
All right. Very nice of you, Claire McCaskill. Given her last speech on the Senate floor earlier today, Jeff Flake did one too, but, you know, we're not even going to play that. Doesn't really matter to me here in St. Louis. So, Senate dysfunction in the farewell speech. That's what is being highlighted. It was broadcast live on C-SPAN 2, also where the filibustering would have happened if she was so inclined to during some of these bills that were getting passed through, these budgeting bills or the Affordable Care Act, where, well, very few would stand up. I've seen the Ted Cruz's stand up and do this. I've seen the Rand Paul's. I haven't seen a Claire McCaskill do it. So, again, with this whole finger-wagging thing, I really don't buy into it all that much. All right, so, coming up next, lot to get to. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. Michael Dougherty, Google CEO, has testified. What's his thought as a security expert? And will we see snow on Christmas Day? We'll talk to AccuWeather about that. On Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.